Okay, good morning. I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Get ourselves oriented to our worship this morning and all the facets of worship that we are involved in. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son and the power of your Spirit. We're so thankful for this assembly. We're so thankful, Father, we have the freedom and the opportunity to come and make it through with the gas prices and the heat and everything else, but just to come together and worship together. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Before we go into song, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read verse 17 together, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ, head of the church, did not send me, Paul, to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that's the wisdom of man, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. And we looked at some of the ways in which the presentation of the gospel of Christ can be made void. But I just want to point out, people, see, you just thought you missed the first class. But what I want to tell you is the gospel does not appeal to human wisdom. It appeals to faith. Simple faith. That's why you can give it to a child. Simple faith. When you try to present the gospel in the cleverness of speech, invite Jesus into your heart, lordship, salvation, all this stuff, you hide the cross. You hide it. So, today is Communion Sunday. So, in light of our study in 1 Corinthians 1, in light of our study, or our worship this morning during the Eucharist, let's begin with 4:30, the old rugged cross, Brian. For months, we have been praying for Thomas, Terry, and Rick. And I'm not going to give the report. Terry is here with us this morning. Terry, we are so happy to have you. So happy.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back here, really. And I just want you guys to know that if I didn't hug you or don't hug you, it's not because they don't want to. It's because today's Thomas's ending of his 30-day strict isolation, and that's why I'm allowed to be out now in public. So I still can take things back to him, and he's still on immunosuppressant drugs. He will be for 6 months, and so he can't be in crowds still. He won't be back to church for quite a while, but he's doing incredibly.
So what's the report after the 30 days?
We don't know. We go back to the doctor on Tuesday.
Okay. Wow, fantastic.
I know.
Miracle.
I'm not kidding.
Just a miracle.
Every morning I just look at him and I'm amazed how amazing our God is. I look at him like, thank you, God. He's literally a walking miracle.
Yes, he is.
So, anyway, I just want to thank everybody for the prayers. It's so good to be back at church. I really did miss it. But God's always with us. I mean, just seeing Thomas, I know he is. So, anyway, I just want to say thanks. And I don't know. I'll know more. Mark, he might actually get to come back to church, but we really don't know. Even though he's doing great, that bone marrow is still only 52 days old. So that's what he keeps reminding me. I'm like, maybe he'll get to go back early. He's like, Mom, my bone marrow is 50 days old.
That's amazing that a young bird has that patience. Mom, it's only 50 days. Yeah. I'd have been the one say, hey, it's 50 days. Come on, let's get going.
He gets to go back to school till second semester. He's fine with that. He's already had a phone consultation with his counselors, and he'll just do homebound school for the first semester. And
good.
He's perfectly fine with that. I mean, he knows. He's very patient.
Wow. Terry, we're so proud and just so thankful for you. We've used you as example. I've used you as example in teaching, and just so proud.
Well, so for all those prayers and everybody with us by now, that's what carries us through all the
things. Thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning.
Well, and keep praying because it's not.
Oh, absolutely, every day.
I don't take any day for granted.
Every day, absolutely. My goodness, hope that you do not stop praying. Let's see, some of you, maybe most of you, remember Gary Horton. Well, Gary Horton's grandson, Sheen, died Monday night in an automobile wreck. And they did, he was 8 years old, and they did his memorial service yesterday. I've not gotten a report on it, nor do what I've expected to just in that time frame from yesterday afternoon to now. But please be in prayer for the Sean's mother, Shane's mother, Tammy, and then for Shane's grandparents, Gary and Ruth Horton, that they know where he is. I have no problem about that. Gary and Tammy and Ruth, they know all of that, but it hurts, and you sorrow. So we need to just lift them up to the Lord for strength, for courage, and these type of things. So please be in prayer for the Hortons at this time. What's going on there? Let me see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? How's Johnny?
He's a little better.
A little better.
But he still needs prayer. We need a lot of help with him.
You and your family always need prayer.
I know.
But hey, so do I. Every day. Oh no! Now I feel sorry for Johnny.
He's just pulled up. It's just so hard, you know. But he is trying really hard. He's doing his exercises and all that.
Good.
But it just makes it real difficult on us.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. Yes, sir.
My wife is going to Greece tomorrow.
Okay. Are you praying for her, for Greece, for yourself, all the above? Well, we'll certainly be in prayer. My goodness, for travel, health, safety, but health now. Oh, goodness, yes. Wow. I wouldn't think Greece would be the most desirable place right now with all that's going on there. But in fact, it's getting tough all over the world. But and so we'll be in prayer for Julia. Absolutely. Tell her our prayers are with her. And hope that she sits next to somebody that's agreeable. Okay, any other prayer requests that we need to have brought? Okay. Okay. Now, let's talk about for a moment in prayer. For months we've been in prayer, and rightly so, for our young people. Been in prayer about camp, been in prayer about the finances, the teaching, the staff, the safety, the actual week, and I'm gonna let Chris talk a minute, but I think he's answered all those prayers up to this, you know, the safety, the effectiveness of the camp, the finance, and all of that. But now we need to start 1 week. I think everyone knows 1 week doesn't carry you very far. Hope you know that. You can lay some good groundwork and all that, but it's just like saying that the honeymoon will carry you through the whole year of your first year of marriage. No, it doesn't. It might get you through the honeymoon, and it may not even get you through that. See? So we need to be in prayer for them. Chris, talk to us.
So just a quick report, and we gave this presentation. We gave the fun presentation last week. All right, generally fun. I got a lot of feedback from my son. But the camp was fantastic. We had a great week. Everybody made it up there from all different directions, all locations, safely. Had a great time. The speakers all got back. I think Joe made it. I have no idea. I haven't heard from him since I put him on the plane. But everything went really, really well. We are looking at taking a look at the youth program. And what are we going to do from there? So we're going to sit down. You know, some of us are going to sit down and talk through where are we going with that. And we have started at our house kind of stealing from Buck. He said I could, so it's not really stealing. I guess it's borrowing. Some ideas around the camp theme, and we're doing that at our house on Thursday nights starting at 6 o'clock, and I can give more information on that at another time. But from a financial perspective, God met every one of our needs. The congregation was fantastic. The money came in. Leslie has the final numbers, and she sent the report to me, but I haven't looked at it yet, so I'll have to let her. We're moving in our house, so still a disaster. But it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I want to do it again next year, and as we're trying to talk about a winter camp. And we've got all kinds of great ideas. Everybody has stepped up, for lack of a better term. Everybody has been extremely gracious in our congregation and our extended congregation outside of here to provide everything that we have needed. And obviously we know where that all comes from, because everything we've got belongs to Him. And the Lord continues to provide. So it's been an amazing ride. Do you want to tell them what the final numbers were, just on a general summary scale?
Basically, we ended up $300. We had $300 left over.
Hey!
We took everything in. It was getting a little tight. We were worried at the end there because we were all, you know, kind of crash buying at the end for the last few things. But we ended up $300 ahead. So
it was, I mean, it was dead on. And it was pretty funny because there were some times where we weren't sure. And Larry kept getting on me. Stop telling him we have enough money. But we have enough money! I would have felt bad walking in going, yeah, we were $15,000 ahead. You guys were great. But no, it was dead on, and God provided everything that we needed. So.
Herman, to your point about continuation of prayer for these children.
Yes.
You know, we are still getting questions and from some of the kids. I mean, the interest is still there. So please continue to pray that it's working in them and they're
absolutely
with their parents. And we're still putting pictures out that bring up conversations that, you know, parents can talk about with their kids. So it's still fresh.
Yep.
And, you know, as
Holy Spirit can still use it and continue to use it. Ask questions. Have it come to mind later on in the school year. All those things. Yes. Now, in that same motif, two doors down, we've got two rooms. Now, we're using those on Sunday morning for our young people. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Please be in prayer about that teaching. Now, I want to tell you, share with you as a pastor what was important about the camp from my perspective. I cannot tell you how thankful I was and am about this congregation. How so many of you came forward. I just never cease to be amazed. I know if I go through, I'll miss. And that's one of the problems in doing it. We're a small church. We don't own a building. There's just not that much to do. Now, we need to talk about cleaning. People, if you're going to have an assembly, you've got to get things done. And we don't have a big building to take care of. We've got this little area and that little area over there. And we were faltering on our cleaning. And I understand we've had two abnormal weeks. Week before camp, week camp, then week after camp, 3 weeks. But so things like that need to be done. But I was just so thankful and surprised the people that came forward. I mean this as a compliment. I was just blown away with Jerry and Leslie taking over the kitchen. I really was. And watching them. And then the food that was prepared, unbelievable food. I mean, most of us ate better than we normally do at home. Every day. I'm not kidding you. 3 squares a day, really good meals. It was really, really... Oh. Let me see. Well, I don't mind saying... I don't mind saying I got up Monday morning and I asked my, where are the bacon and the eggs and the French toast and all the good stuff? Forget it. It's at McDonald's. Yeah. So, but it's just, journalists, thank you. And then the St. Clairs, Brian and Jennifer, working with those kids. When you people would have seen the people that you worship with serving the Lord that way, it would blow your mind. You'd just give thanks. Trey and Brian. And just, I mean, like I said, if I go through, I'm going to miss. Jim and Anel, I hate the word that they're older than I am. And they got up every morning. Before I did, they were in the kitchen. Went to bed. Everybody else has gone to bed, working in the kitchen, cleaning and all that. That's just, I mean, as if he doesn't do enough here. And then the people that serve Thursday. And I've got to admit it, even though I hate to do it, Steve, got out there and helped him load up the bus, help him unload the bus. I'm not going to, I'll have fun just telling you, I won't explain what, but Tony, the owner of the building, called and wanted to know if he could use this room yesterday for a room, conference room and all that. Steve came up last night and fixed the chairs the Monk way. Fixed them out really, really nice. And he wasn't going to be satisfied with just putting them up like I would have. A blue and a brown and a green and all that. Notice all the blues are here and all that. So, I tell you, Larry and Brian, I mean, if you had seen Brian, man, he was driving a, they call it a hog, but it's like a mule. One of those animals. And drove a mule, going all over, making sure water was gold. And they were out. The kids were outside, and they always had the water filled. How'd that happen? God didn't turn the empty thing into water. Brian had to bring it down, pour it, get ice. How many trips of ice did you make?
I think four.
Four trips for more and more ice, and you'd have given thanks as I did every day, seeing people. So I don't know what more. But my prayer now is that God will give us more things where more of you can serve. It's not just... You know why the Dead Sea is a Dead Sea? I don't know if you know this or not in Israel. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Fresh water flows into the Dead Sea 24/7. 24/7, fresh water flows into the Dead Sea. No outlet. No outlet. It just sits there. People, I love that you love the Word of God. I've told people many times, just recently, I'm so thankful that I can do a word-by-word study, and it's what you seem to okay. But, you know, the study of the Word, God isn't going to give you a big test to see how many rewards you get in heaven, how much doctrine you know. It does that doctrine calculate into witnessing for Christ, serving the Lord, these kinds of things. So I'm just hoping, I don't know what it'd be. I have no idea what it would be. But just that more and more things can come up that other people, hey, that's what I'd like to do. That's what I'd like to do. So, but I just have to tell you, I was so thankful for what I witnessed before. I mean, Chris and Laura Day, people, there is no way we could pay him for the amount of time he spent. And he doesn't know it, but we're going to meet and talk about Cam, and I'm going to throw more responsibility on him next year. He doesn't know that yet. But, so, just continue to be in prayer for this assembly. God is using it. He's using our outreach on the internet, just so many different ways. So please continue to just thank God for it and support it by coming, as well as financial and prayers. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior, but not only that, led of the Spirit in regard to giving. Let's face the facts. It's hot outside. It's hot financially. Money's not like it used to be, and I know that. I know that. So, when you're led by the Spirit to give, this is an important part of worship. It's an important part of your life. Now, I usually don't talk about money and all that, and we're doing fine. We're not going to take up three collections today, but we're doing okay. But I just want you to know that When you deal with your money, you got to calculate and listen, leading of the Spirit, regard to so many things. There are two ways you can find out about yourself. You don't need to go buy a book to find out about yourself. You don't need to go to a shrink. You don't even need to go to your mother or your wife or your husband to find out about yourself. Two ways you can find out about yourself. One, look at your private prayer life. What's important in your prayers? That'll tell you about yourself. Because you're not faking anybody. You're not trying to impress anybody. It's totally private between you and God. You'll learn about yourself. You'll learn what's important, why it's important, all these things. And secondly, look at your checkbook. Look where your money goes. Those are two ways to find out what's important about yourself. Follow, as expression goes, follow your prayers, follow your money. And you'll find out what's important to you. Is this assembly important? Is this assembly important enough to support every area of it? The room, the teaching, the outreach, the outreaches that we have given, all these things. Are those things important to you or not? So these are just all the things that are going on in this wonderful assembly that we have to just be thankful for, continue to be in prayer for. So with all of this in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this assembly, this humble assembly. We don't have thousands down here. We don't have an orchestra. We don't have a gym. We don't have a lot of classrooms. We got people who love you and love your Son and love the Word of God. That's what we got. And that's all you ask for. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them in the spreading of the gospel by this assembly to unbelievers and to born-again believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. It's been some 3 weeks since we've been in Romans. The week before camp, 2 weeks ago, we had Grady give a missionary report. Then last Sunday, we had our young people, which I have no problem with both of those Sundays. But it's been a while. But if you'll recall where we are in chapter 5, verse 3, and not only this, but also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, perseverance, proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Hope does not make us ashamed. Now, I'm going to do something out of the ordinary here, Brian. And that is, I'm going to ask you to let's open your hymnals to a hymn that we've never sung, but you know the hymn. You know the tune. Yeah, you know the tune. And the tune is "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." So, open your hymnals to 450. I love this hymn. I was reading it this morning about 7 o'clock and just kept reading it. And it goes with what we're studying in John 17. By the way, people, I don't know your schedules, but we're studying the Lord's Prayer in John 17. It is so powerfully important. It lays out the whole of history, the Lord's true prayer in John 17. And then with what we're doing in 1 Corinthians 1 at the 8 and the 9:30 service, 9:15, and then Romans. It just puts together all of them. So what I'm going to do, Brian, is ask everybody to stand, and you'll play through, and then we'll sing. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's, Bible should be open to, well, maybe we stood up and sang. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. It's going to be a little difficult to regain the momentum. It's difficult enough just go from Sunday to Sunday to maintain momentum in a study, but especially since we've missed the last two Sundays in this. But let's see if we can regain some momentum and move into our study and get through this. And let's begin with a word of prayer, and the purpose of the prayer is very important. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the teacher, and pull all of these things together, get us back emotionally, mentally, spiritually, back into the momentum of where we are in this study. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, there's so much about history past that is so important to us. The age of Israel, the cross. There is so much in the Bible of prophecy, things yet to occur. But Father, there's so much about our daily life. Right now, right where we live, today, Sunday. Hot Sunday in August. And it is this, Heavenly Father, that we come before you. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes, that we can maintain the joy, the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. That we can understand the tribulations, challenges, even sufferings that come our way. In such a way, Father, that they can bring honor and glory to your Son, our Savior. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapters 1 through 4 primarily dealt with the unbeliever. Chapter 5 and following, primarily the believer. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is peace with God for all eternity. Peace of God is the Holy Spirit in our daily life. Peace with God is because of the work of Christ on the cross. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ, to whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, eternal security. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God, the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only this, not only do we exult in the hope of the glory of God, but we also exalt, see, hope of the glory of God's future. But also, we exalt in our current tribulations, knowing, now there's the key, do you know it? You got to spend time in Bible class, got to spend time in the study of the Bible to know that tribulation, parentheses, plus the Holy Spirit, plus doctrine, which we've well documented, brings about perseverance. And we ask the question, why do I want to bring about perseverance? And we answered that. And perseverance, proven, actually what we saw here, proven faith. Dokima is the word proven. This is where we left off 3 weeks ago. Dokima. And the King James translates it, it's simply experience. It means approved. Trial. Proof of something. So let's quickly go through right where we left off three weeks ago. I was sorry we ended in the middle of points, so I'm just going to highlight the points up to where we left off. And point one, human life stands under divine watching. It's not Big Brother watching us. It's God. He's watching over us. He is watching. He is watching young people, young adults, adults, all of us, all the time. And we develop that. Point two, in regard to those who do believe in Jesus Christ, this watching, this testing, leads to the ultimate judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 and 14. People, that's a reality. Now, I suppose everyone in this room have personally believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith alone in Christ alone, because you know there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell, there is the great white throne judgment. I want you to understand there is also the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all, each one of us, going to have to stand there. And you can't blame your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your children, your parents, anybody else. It's going to be your own decisions about walking by faith in the Spirit or not during the short time you have here on earth. So the judgment seat of Christ is a reality. And he's looking to approve. Point three. Right. We will not stand at the great white throne judgment. That was taken care of by faith in Jesus Christ. So we know we're totally depraved. We cannot produce the righteousness of God. So what awaits is the great white throne judgment at the end of time. So to avoid that, we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Believers will not be at the great white throne judgment. After the rapture of the church, we're taken up by the Holy Spirit, presented to Christ, then he takes us to the Father. But before he takes us to the Father, there is the judgment seat. I call it efficiency rating, judgment seat. It's a judgment. And he looks at our life. And it's not about, did you good, did you did this, did you bad. Sins will not be mentioned. They were taken care of on the cross. Nothing we did bad will be mentioned at the efficiency rating of Christ, parentheses, nor at the last judgment, the great white throne judgment. Before unbelievers, their sins will not be mentioned at the great white throne judgment. Why not? They were taken care of on the cross. See? That's the preaching of the cross. Okay, now, in the parentheses. So, what is God going to be looking for as Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, when he evaluates our life? That's what we have right here. That's a word that I'm developing right now. Approved. And what's being approved? Experience. What's a faith? Did you continue to trust him, the Holy Spirit, God, in the midst of your life? Or did you go to religion? Did you go to works? Did you go to sin? What did you go to? Or did you just continue to walk by faith? And I'll show you that as we develop it. This. Martha, does that help? Okay. So, point three. Our word, dokima, this word refers to the process of a trial, proving, demonstrating. Sometimes it even refers to the result of the trial. Now, the question under point three, what is proven? What is God looking for? That's the great question. What is God looking for? And we spent a lot of time under point three. He is looking for our faith. That's all. He's looking for our faith. Did you continue to trust? It's that simple. The proof of faith. See? We exalt in tribulation, for tribulation plus the Holy Spirit doctrine produces perseverance, and perseverance, proven faith. Proven faith. Point four. If we translate this proven character, integrity, these kinds of words. Number one, they're not talked about anywhere else in Scripture. And so what we did under point four, I took you through a multitude of passages to show you what God is looking for is faith. He's not looking for morality. He's not looking for good. He's not looking for contributions. He's not looking at how much knowledge you know, doctrine you know. He's looking to see if all this doctrine all came to trusting him in the midst of tribulation. That's what it's about. That's what tribulation's about. Are you going to continue trusting me? And I'm not just saying it because she's here. This is one of my joys in watching Rick and Terry. I'm sure they had their minutes in the darkness of the night. But through the whole thing, they kept trusting him. And I have to say, probably their words were those of Peter. Where else would we go? Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So, but we spent time looking at a number of passages on showing you that it is faith. The obedience that is faith. Then point five, why should we desire the demonstration of proof of our faith? Why should we desire that? And let's, this is where we left off 3 weeks ago. So let's look at James 1. Why should I desire the demonstration of the proof of faith under tribulation? And that's a very good question. Why? Why should I desire it? Yes. Yes. He's looking for faith, depending on the circumstances. Depending on a faith in Him, a faith in Jesus Christ, a faith in the Holy Spirit, and His faithfulness, these kinds of things. It's a relationship. Remember, faith is a relationship word. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 12, we're answering the question of point 5, why should we desire the demonstration of the proof of our faith under trial? James 1, 12, blessed is the man who perseveres, that's faith, under trial, tribulations in life. For once he has been approved, dokimos, same word that we're dealing with. And what is approved? Your faith. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord Himself has promised to those who love Him. So people, our life is being watched by God, by Jesus Christ. And it's a crown of life. We're talking about life here. We're getting ready to study in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in John 17. We're going to have a definition of eternal life. That is unusual to what most people think about when they think about eternal life. Jesus Christ is going to tell us what eternal life is. And one of the important things is that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. There are people who live their whole life here on earth. They don't live. They've never loved. They've never been allowed themselves to love or be loved. And a life, if we learn 1 Corinthians 13, a life without the love is not a life. To live, you've got to have love. So this is the important thing of why it's a crown of life in your life. People, Jesus Christ said in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. You're not going to avoid it. There are people who try to hide. A lot of people go to these little monk things. I think a lot of women become nuns. People just to hide. Hide from life. People are not here to hide from life. Got to get out there in it. It's where the battle's fought. You're not going to avoid tribulation. You can just minimize your life. I love Paul. Paul did not marry. Paul did not have a business. Paul did not this. Paul did not that. Paul da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So what happened? God sent an angel to beat him up every now and then. I mean, I say it funny, but that's about it. He did everything he could to avoid tribulation. And God said, oh yeah, watch. I'm just going to have him come beat you up. Thorn in the flesh. You're not going to avoid it. What's it about then? What's about physical tribulation, economic tribulation, social tribulation, marital tribulation, soul tribulation, life tribulation, on and on and on. What's it all? It's about, you trust me? Or are you going to get all out of shape based on these tribulations? Look at Hebrews chapter 10, same question. First, we're in point 5. Why should we desire the demonstration of proof of our faith under tribulation? James 1, 12. Because it's the issue of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Why do we desire tribulation? The demonstration of our faith under tribulation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance. That's a faith in under tribulation. So that, there it is. See that so that? That's so important in the scriptures. So that when you have done the will of God. And what is the will of God? Faith. Beautiful. Thank you. That's the will of God. Continue to trust. You may receive what was promised. Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. One more important passage. 1 Peter 1. Please look at 1 Peter chapter 1. People, this is where we live. I want you to see it in your scriptures. I don't want to just give you these verses. This is where we live. Day in and day out. I'm not a prophet, but I think it's going to get worse in America. Economically. Health. Social environment. Huh? Yeah, exactly. And it's just going to get worse. But it's also worldwide. I mean, this thing is worldwide. This isn't just America under economic pressure. I just read where I think Belgium is now declaring a lot of financial problem, along with Greece and some of the other countries. So it's getting worse. Yeah, they're covering it up. A lot of countries are covering it up. We're covering it up. I just saw in this whole thing of the debt debate, one of my favorite jokes. This guy is going in, and he's at the loan office. He's sitting there, and he said, "I just raised my debt allowance. You can loan me my $1 million now." this is the way people, it's going to get there. So now let's look at 1 Peter 1:7. That the proof of your faith. There it is, people. Proof of your faith. Being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Even though your faith is tested by fire, tribulations, may be found by God, not man, to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. People, this is powerful stuff. This relates your life right now to the revelation of Christ, judgment seat of Christ, and all eternity. This is where we live. The greatest praise that you can give God, people, is to trust Him. That's the greatest praise. Learning His Word is praise. Singing praises is praise. Giving money is praise. The greatest praise we can give God is to trust Him. Angels watch. You're going to trust Him? You're going to continue to trust Him as things get worse and worse, more difficult, as this happens and that happens? See, the thing about Rick and Terry that we've all been a part of here, it wasn't just over in a couple of days. Boy, tribulation's rough. It hits you and it causes disruption, financial problems, well, you got to work it all out and all. But you just live day after day after day where your 14, now 15-year-old son is lying there. Goes through points of dying. Goes through points of recovery. Goes through points of hope. Goes through points of depression. All these things. How long? How long, oh Lord? I don't know, Rick and Terry did, but I know. I know Habakkuk asked. So I know they must have asked somebody. How long? How long, Lord? Habakkuk cried it out. Why, Lord? When you find yourself in the middle of the night crying out, why, how long, you know you're in the battle. You know you're in it. I could take this for a day, a week, maybe a month. How long is this going to go on? And why? Why me? Why my son? Why my life? Why my family? Why this? But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I don't know the answers to those questions. See, that's where that great little phrase that's in Hebrew and Romans, the righteous shall live by faith. What is God saying to him? Habakkuk, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you how long. I'm not going to answer you why. I'm just telling you, live by faith. That's the answer. That's what he's looking for. That's what the spiritual warfare is about. It's not about your morality. People, sometimes I say things and it sounds like maybe I'm not for those things. It's not even about your knowledge of doctrine. You know how important that is to me. That's my life, studying this book. But it's not about knowledge. It's about what that knowledge does to your life. Do you love as Christ loved? Do you continue to trust Him in the midst of tribulation? That's what it's about. This isn't knowledge for knowledge's sake, like the Greeks of Romans chapter 1 Corinthians 1. Knowledge for the sake of knowledge. It's not about that. And some Christians think it is. Think that somehow there's going to be this big place in the sky for all the people who know more doctrine. It's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's about knowing the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior, the impact that it makes on your life. Do you walk by faith? Point six, warning. Point six, warning. We are not to judge or be judged by one another. We're not to watch, accuse, or credit it by man. Let me just quickly give you some verses here. I think you know this point, so I want to move on. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he who commends himself is approved. That's our word, dokimos. But whom the Lord commends. It's not who commends us, who doesn't commend us. It's what does the Lord say? What is the Lord looking for, and what is he calculating it on? Our 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. This is just a reason, people, not to judge one another. Nobody appointed you to judge another believer. I don't care if it's sin, not sin, what they're doing, what they're not doing, or anything. We're not here to judge one another, to be judged by one another. It's amazing how many Christians live for the approval of others rather than the approval of God. And I mean that. There are a lot of Christians who live their life, or they're approved by one another. They're approved by their family, their friends at church, their friends at, you know, do they, everybody think they're wonderful people? When in life, when inside, they're dead. They're whitewashed tombstones. Now, having made that clear, that we're not here to judge or be judged, people, we are here to be a witness before man of Christ. But see, that's not about us, see? See the difference? It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Witness of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So we're not here to exalt self. It's here to be a witness of Christ. See, are you a witness of Christ? Under trial. That's what the whole thing is about. In our study of 1 Corinthians, we're seeing schisms in the local church, divisions. But 1 Corinthians 11:19 says, for there must be factions among you. Why must there be? In order that those who are approved, dokimos, may become evident among you. Those who walk by faith. Those who walk by wisdom of man. Those who walk by the flesh. Those who walk by this. Those who walk by that. Those who walk by faith. Schism, division, it's going to point it out. Where are you walking? Where are you living? This becomes the great issue. Point seven. As we go through life, through tribulation, we are to test ourselves. We are to test ourselves. Not judge, but test. And this one I do want you to look at it with me. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. You're walking by faith in the Spirit, walking by faith in God, God's promises, God's Word, trusting Him. Are you depending on your flesh? Depending on your ability? Depending on your ability to reason? We're seeing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right now the difference between a gospel and trying to present the gospel in the wisdom of words, the cleverness of man. Sounds so clever, so wise. Invite Jesus into your heart. That sounds so wise. You want Jesus in your life, invite Him into your heart. The cross is hidden. Jesus Christ's work is hidden. And it's all about you now. Lordship, salvation, the cross is hidden. It's about you making him Lord. See, the gospel doesn't appeal to cleverness of words. The gospel appeals to faith. Simple faith. That's why we give it to a child. Simple faith. That's the way the gospel is to be presented. So are you walking by faith? Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, not by each other, by yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. When's he in us? When we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, people. Empowered by the Spirit, he is in us. Okay, we have a few moments before we have to go to the communion. Let's look back at Romans 5. The next in God's chain reaction. The grace chain reaction here. Romans chapter 5. Let's just kind of begin our chain reaction at verse 3. And not only this, we exalt, we give thanks. People, it's tough to say give thanks for tribulation. I've not done it. I'll do it now. But I've not done it because it's just difficult to do. To go to Rick and Terry, exalt in what's happening in your life. How can you say that when they're looking at their child? That's why we try to learn these things when you're not in the midst of it. But exalt in it. It's an opportunity that touches time and eternity. For Terry, for Rick, for Thomas, and for us. But namely for them. We exalt. Does it really mean that? Is that just a statement? No, it means it. And if we understand what's going on, then we will. Don't like it at the time. Don't like it at the time. I don't know hardly anyone, well, there are a few gung-ho people, but most people that go through military basic training, that 8 weeks is pitiful. Man, that stinks. But I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot about me. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about others and all of that. But if you'd have come in the middle of basic training, and mine was at Fort Polk, Louisiana, which is where Satan sets up his home, his summer home, in the middle of all of that, and said, exalt in this, I'd have shot you. I'd have taken my weapon, I'd have shot you. See? But exalt in tribulation. Okay. We also exalt in tribulation. Now, the first exalting is in the hope of glory, something that is to happen. This one is to exalt in tribulation that is now going on. And why? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. But please remember, we had to do some study with that. Tribulation plus the Holy Spirit plus pertinent doctrine produces perseverance. And perseverance, what is that? Not proven character. Proven faith. Demonstrated faith. Now, we move on. And proven faith, hope. Hope. This is our next word. Elpis. Hope. Now, we could spend many hours on the word hope here, but it's going to be coming up through the book of Romans, and I want to try to stay with hope as it relates to this verse, not hope in its broad spectrum of everything. I want to confine our study, which to me is going to be powerful enough, understanding hope as it relates to tribulation in our life and all of these things happening, and then hope. And we want to understand what's going on. This is a chain reaction. First you have to know doctrine, knowing. Then the tribulation comes. Then in the midst of the tribulation, using the power of the Holy Spirit in your doctrine, it produces endurance, which reveals proven faith, which produces, stimulates hope. Why hope? Why hope? We need to look at what is hope. Have you ever tried to define hope? Think about it. Don't raise your hand. But just think about it. How would I define hope? How would we do that? It's a little bit like gravity. How do you define gravity? We all know what it is. We all know what hope is. But try to define it. Where you could communicate, affect your about it. Now, if I get started into this, I'll just have to go back over this introductory part next Sunday morning. So we're going to spend next Sunday studying hope. Studying hope. So let's get ready for our communion and then some fellowship time together after we have our communion. I think everyone here, they'll look around, knows the elements, what they represent. The bread represents the salvation one, or eternal life salvation. The cup represents salvation two, spiritual life, living the Christian life, and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. The bread represents the body of Christ. The cup represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit as far as our life is concerned in Him. So, we spent some time in the 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul talks about, I'm glad I didn't baptize very many. And we took up the what is called the Great Commission, looked at that. Now we're looking, we looked at the baptism, but another ritual we have is the Lord's Table. And I just want to quickly say, and I hope everyone knows it, there's nothing in the bread, in the cup, that passes something to you. It's not efficacious. It's not effective. Nothing effective in that little cup and that little piece of bread. Now, if we use, and this is why we don't, by the way, we used alcohol, which would be fine, by the way, but if we used alcohol, wine, some really nice red wine, some of you'd never appreciate really nice red wine, but anyway, if we used red wine, that could affect some people. See? Just to make my example, that could affect them. Take an alcoholic, trying to get not drink, comes in, takes just that much, boom, he's gone. It's affected him. But there's nothing spiritually in the cup or the bread that affects a change in us. There's no transubstantiation. In other words, where that bread becomes the body of Christ, the cup becomes the blood of Christ. That's nauseous. Besides being non-theological. So, but what's the point of it all then? Well, it's like all rituals they teach. If you understand, it's good. You understand water baptism? That's fine. Buried with Christ, raised to new life. The communion. You understand what's happening. So the effect, the gain, is going to be our understanding of what's going on in this. Now, it's our custom here. We celebrate the Eucharist, the Lord's Table, the communion service, once a month, generally. It's the first Sunday of each month, generally. And some people do it every time they meet. That's fine. Some people do it weekly. That's fine. Some people do it yearly. That's fine. There's no rules and laws on it. There's no rules or laws. Who can serve? Who can't serve? All these kind of things. Just that we want to do it correctly in remembrance of Him. That's what it's about. In remembrance of Him. So with this in mind, everyone hold a cup the bread till everyone has been served. Then we'll take communion with Him and with one another. Communion. Okay? Thank you. The bread that you hold in your hand represents some of the great wisdom, divine wisdom, of the cross of Christ. Now, these are the things that in the presentation of the gospel just appeals to faith. But Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 2 about how, as you grow in the wisdom of God, so we begin to understand what all happened. Why is the cross so dynamic in our salvation? Because of who's on the cross. We're going to see in 1 Corinthians that the gospel is foolishness to people. And that foolishness starts out with a failure of seeing who Jesus Christ is. If you don't know who He is, that's one reason the cross is foolishness. The gospel is foolishness. Once you understand who Jesus Christ is, you go, whoa, wait a minute. This is no ordinary man dying. This is the God-man dying. Something special going on here. But if you don't understand who He is, it will be foolishness to you. It's foolishness to praise death of someone, especially the cruel death of the cross. That was a horrible death. It was violent. It was criminals. It's foolishness to praise the death of Christ. Unless you understand, starting out with who and what He is. So this bread represents who and what Christ is. He is the God-man. He is God. He became man to take our place on the cross. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed," it's very important to the whole gospel play, "took bread, and when He had given thanks," now He's given thanks for His own death. Remember that. I give thanks for every meal. That's different than here. He's giving thanks for His own death, for His own privilege to die on the cross. "And when He had given thanks, He broke it." Now His body will not be broken, but it's a picture of being broken for our sins. "And said, This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, that when you take communion with Him, we take communion together. Will you please stand? Very important in the life of Christ through the Gospel of John and getting to chapter 17 and dealing with His prayer, where Jesus Christ lifted His eyes and He said, "Father, the hour has come." Now, that hour has been going on all through the Gospel of John. "My hour has not come." They were not able to seize Him because His hour had not come. He did not die at this point. "His hour had not come. My hour has not come. The hour has not come." And then all of a sudden in John 12, the hour is here. And the hour was for Him to be crucified, buried, resurrected, depart, ascend to heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, that's fine for Him. What about us as believers? What's going to happen to us left here on earth? Jesus Christ has made it clear in 13 through 16, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending to you another one just like Me, Spirit." The cup represents the new covenant by which we live. This is a whole area of theology that is debated. The new covenant. Is the new covenant just to Israel? Is the new covenant to the church? Where does the new covenant fit into all of this? I love how we take in the scriptures and we battle over things that were given for our edification. We just love doing that. It's just amazing. But we're under the new covenant spiritually. And that is the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're dealing with. In the same way, He, Jesus Christ, took the cup after supper. Passover is over. This is for the church. This is not for Israel. It's for the church. Passover is over. The bread's for everyone. The cup is for the church. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Okay, Brian and Wes, let's turn, and everyone turn. Hymn number 111. Hymn number 111. When I survey the wondrous cross. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the food of the Word that we have partaken. Pray that you'll set apart in our souls, let it take anchor and in our lives in the midst of tribulations and sufferings. Now, Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to partake. Pray that you'll set aside our fellowship, set it aside to your eternal glory and our eternal remembrance. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.